In the name of Jesus, amen. In order to get your attention this morning for our Sunday sermon, let's begin with a little humor. When one door closes and another door opens, you're probably in prison. Sometimes, some unexpected person comes into your life out of nowhere, makes your heart race and flutter, and changes you forever. That person is called a cop. Now that I have your attention, I know that you are ready for today's sermon. Like Kermit the Frog is ready for Cleveland weather that is constantly changing, Kermit says, "I'm ready for the rest of the week. I have my umbrella and my flip-flops, my mittens and my suntan lotion, my winter coat and sunglasses, my iced tea and my hot chocolate." Let's therefore be ready like Kermit, but let's be spiritually ready to hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have a special insert again in your bulletin that contains sermon notes and also Bible texts from the Gospel according to Mark. Again, for the economy of time, we will follow them very closely. We now return to the teachings of Christ. Today, we treat lessons 11 through 22 in your booklet entitled The Holy Week Journey. This moves us to lessons 13 through 17, the last five lessons that Jesus taught on that first and special Lenten Tuesday. In the first three texts from Mark, our Savior continues to predict events that would happen right on or near the last day of human history. We call it Judgment Day, a day of rejoicing for Christian believers, but a day of disaster for those headed to hell because of their rejection of Jesus the Messiah, he who was the world's deliverer from sin. We continue where we left off last Wednesday, reading the words of Jesus from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 27. Our first text today of five, as I said, Jesus predicted, "In those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send forth the angels, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of the heaven." Yes, when Jesus comes, the fourth day of creation will be undone. What happened on the fourth day of creation? He created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the last day, they will stop shedding their light. On the last day of human history, also, we believers, the elect, the chosen, and the predestined, yes, we will be separated from unbelievers. Listen to our Savior's next warning from Mark chapter 13, verses 28 through 31. This is our second text, and we are now on page 2. Our Jesus says, "Now learn from the parable of the fig tree. When its branches have already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Well, four statements, three questions, and a very difficult statement. As to the fig tree, example: winter, no leaves. Spring, bud and leaves. Summer, figs are near. The meaning of Jesus' words: judgment day is near. You and I are living near that end. Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, etc. You and I are living in the midst of those ends, as I said. Do you recognize these signs? Are you growing in Jesus and his word? Are you ready and on the alert for his second and final coming? Yes, remember, Jesus would have been popular with the Jewish religious leaders if he would have been willing to compromise the truth of Scripture. But he would not. That is why we are in church here today. Luther, like Jesus, would not compromise the truth. He said, "Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise." Let's also be brave like Jesus and Luther and not compromise. Now to a special phrase. The phrase, "this generation will not pass away until all these things take place," appears most difficult and caused the famous Albert Schweitzer. What did it cause him? To say that the Bible's portrayal of Jesus is false, especially Christ's teaching that he would return during that very generation, that generation of time, some 40 years away. But is that what our Savior meant? Schweitzer's loss of faith came because of his misinterpretation of this passage of Scripture. Christ meant what? Christ meant that this kind of Jew and unbelievers who were alive in his generation would still be around, would still be around rejecting him, page 3, until the end of time. And there they are, still rejecting him in the synagogues right up to this very day. The words that Jesus predicted came true and are still coming true. Now onward to our third text from Mark chapter 13, verses 32 through 37. Jesus continues, "But of that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, be on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man away on a journey, who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows around 3 a.m., or in the morning around 6 a.m. Be on the alert in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all. Be on the alert. We first ask, why did Jesus say that he did not know when Judgment Day would occur? Let me try to explain it to you. Jesus, when he was here on earth, emptied himself. He didn't always use all his godly powers, though he always was the God-man. In his state of humiliation, he sometimes chose to use his God powers and know the future. Other times, he chose to not use his God powers and not know the future. Does he know the future today? Yes, because he is no longer in his state of humiliation. He is now in his state of exaltation, where he always and fully uses all of his God powers. As the Athanasian Creed says, it's not that the divinity was taken into the humanity, but the humanity was taken into the divinity. And so now his human nature is exalted at the right hand of God, which means in a place of honor where he is controlling all things, all evil things, so that you and I do not fall in temptation to them and to be overcome and destroyed. That is our very great God. Now, two passages from Hebrews chapter 10. One talks about attending church on a regular basis in order to encourage one another. That's one of the reasons why we gather. We don't only gather in order to glorify God. That's the prime reason. And to receive his blessings personally. But when we are here, we are letting other people know that there are other people who also believe like them. That's encouraging. Hear the first words from Hebrews chapter 10. Let us not forsake our own assembling together. That means our coming to church together. Rather, let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day of judgment drawing near. And then he continues in that same chapter of Hebrews, and he says, we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preservation of the soul. We continue to stand and be strong and to encourage others to be strong also. Our fourth text changes direction. It contains no predictions from the lips of Jesus. Rather, it reports historic facts. From Mark chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, it says, now the Passover and unleavened bread were 2 days away on Thursday, page 4. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they were saying, not during the festival, otherwise there might be a riot of the people. The religious leaders of the Jews wanted to seize Jesus unexpectedly, like baiting a fish. It all boiled down to their job security and popularity among the people. These religious people feared the people, the believers, because many did believe in Jesus. They were also afraid of a riot, that it would break out and the Romans would come and take their freedoms away. Fact, it is easy for similar concerns to take control of our emotions and to fear if we stand up for Jesus, we might have our physical freedoms taken away. As Jesus said, be on the alert. Our fifth and final text leads us right into the heart and core of Christ's passion account. It reports in Mark 14, verses 10 and 11, then Judas Iscariot went off to the chief priests to betray him, that is Christ, to them, that is the scribes and Pharisees. They were glad when they heard this, and they promised to give Judas money. And he, Judas, began seeking ways to betray Christ at an opportune time. Now, as to the person of Judas, what does it mean that he was Judas Iscariot? Well, it does not mean that he was Judas the betrayer. See, many people think when they read, oh, his name was Judas Iscariot, that meant he was Judas the betrayer. Not. Rather, the Hebrew word ish at the beginning of Iscariot means man. That's what Adam was called in the Old Testament. He was an ish. Okay, he was a man. All right? And Kariot is spelled Kariot in the English. Thus, Judas Iscariot means Judas from the town of Kariot, not Judas the betrayer. Now, as to the person of Judas, he was one of the 12 disciples, and he had heard Jesus teach for 3.5 years. He had also witnessed miracle after miracle after miracle firsthand. Yet he rejected Jesus. So sad. Spiritual advice for you and me: grow in Christ with thanksgiving. If you are slip-sliding away, of course I took those words from the song, slip-sliding away. If you are slip-sliding away, ask the Holy Spirit to move me, to repent, which means ask him to work godly sorrow in your heart, knowing that you have, first of all, sinned against God. As David said in Psalm 51, against you only have I sinned. Always when we sin, it's against the first commandment first, not loving God with all our hearts, minds, souls, and strength. And then ask the Holy Spirit to move you to have a stronger faith. May the Holy Trinity give you great blessings from today's sermon. Amen. Now the peace of God which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.